The topic is understanding our covenant. You know, we have a covenant with God, and He's made a covenant with us. And I think sometimes we forget about that covenant that we have with Him. And I'm just going to just bring exactly what His word says about that covenant, where we were before, not us, but the ones that were lost, and where we are now, that we're in the new covenant, which is better promises, better way. In Hosea 4:6, okay, it says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. But I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." And in Hosea, you know, I was reading that and I said, you know, we said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," but we don't go further on. And it's not that there's no knowledge. It's that we reject the knowledge that it's in God's word sometimes, that He speaks to us about. So I'm praying today that as I give you the word, as we look into the word, that the knowledge of the Lord will be the one to bring you wisdom and understanding of who we are in Christ. This is all about who we are in Christ. We are the righteousness of in Christ Jesus. And we have to get that so into us to know who we really are. Because if we don't do that, we can't really go any further. We can't really overcome the works of the devil. We can't overcome situations and circumstances until we really know who we really are in Christ. And so we have to have that invented. Now, we are a new creation, you know, just like we were saying before, like Sister Camille was sharing about the testimony. You know, we're not unto ourselves. We're unto Christ. And our lives has to show forth that life. So we have to forget about ourselves, where we were, what we did, where we came from. And we have to look unto Jesus, because He is the author and finisher of whatever He has started within us. He's the one that's going to take us to and through everything. He's already done it, but now it's up to us to receive what He has done. And it's not hard for us to receive it, because we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will lead and guide us. So God is so good, because He gave us His Spirit. He didn't leave us by ourselves, you know. And I'm going to, the old covenant night in Exodus 24, verse 3 to 8, was when they had the old covenant, and that was the law. And the law was written because Jesus Christ had not died and was resurrected. So the only way they could keep the law, they tried to keep the law, was by human ways, human resource, human way of doing it. You know, we tried the do's and the don'ts, but we know we really can't do that. You know, we can't. That's why I'm saying without Christ, we can't do anything, but we have Christ. So we can do what we're called to do. There is no excuse. We can walk exactly. We don't have to go. I mean, you know, you said, let's get back to Eden. Exactly. Because that's where we belong. We are the people of Eden. We are not the people of this world. Even though we're in this world, we are not that people. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we have to walk like a new creature in Christ. So in that time, Moses, you know, Jesus would speak with Moses. And then he would go side with Moses. He took him up to the mountain and he spoke to Moses. And he told Moses, these are the laws. You know, that time there was priests. It was the time of the priests. The priest was the one that went in and was only the one that was able to go before God and speak with God and meet with God, and God would speak with him so that he can go back. Moses, or the high priest, could go back and minister and speak to the people what God has spoken to them. But, you know, we are so different. We don't have to go to anyone to speak to God for us. We can speak to God from face to face and He hears us. So we don't need a high priest to go. We could go straight to Christ. But then they did. And the law and the Lord's word and the laws they couldn't keep, they couldn't obey. And in Exodus 34:28, they made and they wrote the tablets, which was the Ten Commandments. Even then, even though they were written on tablets, they still couldn't keep it. So it was not only that God spoke with Moses, and Moses went to the people and spoke to the people and gave them the word of the Lord. They couldn't do it. But even when he wrote them on tablets for them to see, they were not able to keep that law. They weren't able to. And, you know, I look at that and I say, God, we don't see what you have done with us, you know. I don't want to go and get further, but I'll get to that part. Moses exhorted to the obedience. He tried, but he couldn't do it. He tried to make an oath with God. He couldn't do it. Sometimes we do that. Lord, if I do this, would you do this for me? It doesn't work for us because we're not under that law. We're not working under that law. That's a work that we have to do. We have to put effort. But, you know, in Christ, we don't have to put effort. And we do. We try to do it because we think we have to still be doing it like the law. But we're not. We're under grace. In Deuteronomy 29:24-25, they had abandoned the covenant. See, they couldn't keep it. So what happened? They had abandoned it. They went to their own ways. Let me go to Deuteronomy 29. And 29:9, and it says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do. And as you go down to 12, that thou should enter into this covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God. And he has said unto thee, and he has sworn unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standest here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. So he made that covenant with them. But even though I just keep going back to that old covenant because I want us to see how that old covenant could have not been fulfilled. Only when Jesus came and he fulfilled that covenant in us, with us. Because he says, I'm giving you a better covenant, a new covenant, better promises. And that's the covenant that he has given us. They were unfaithful. And in Malachi, they were breaking faith with one another. They didn't honor and trust one another. No matter what they couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. It was a commandment. The commandment, there was a contract between two parties, with each person to hold up his end, his side of the agreement. That was the old covenant. It was made with two people together, and you try to carry out your part, and the other person would try to carry out their part. But now that we're in the covenant with Jesus Christ, we don't have to try to keep our end, because Jesus, the new covenant, is with Jesus. And Jesus and himself. And he says that God made the agreement, however, in this case of the new covenant that God made with man, it has nothing to do with man's ability. To verify this sign, God is the guarantor and upholds the entire covenant himself by the blood and death of Jesus. We have been made free from that law. So now, because of Jesus, death, and resurrection, we enter that covenant with him when we became born again. And now that we have entered into that covenant, it has nothing to do with works. It all has to do with the grace of God and what he has done for us. In Galatians, let's turn to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Let's read 20 to 21. Okay. So in Galatians 2:20 to 21, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ's death was in vain. So you see, we can't be frustrated. We can't try to do the law because we're only going to get frustrated. But he's saying, trust me, lean on me, rely on me, rely on what I have given you, on my Holy Spirit. My grace is sufficient. My grace is the one that's going to take you through. My grace is the one that's going to do and bring you to that place where I have you to be. It's by grace that we're saved, through faith, not of ourselves. We can't boast. And I think that's why God made it, so that we can't boast and say, oh, I got it all together. No, we have it together only because of Jesus. And that's the way I want us to see ourselves, that we do have it all together because we have Jesus in us. We have the Holy Spirit. There's no fall in the Holy Spirit. There's no lack in the Holy Spirit. We have it all. We have it all. And I think sometimes what we have to start doing is stop looking at ourselves and look onto Jesus. Look onto who he is and what he's already done for us, what he's already given us. Let's go to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8:6. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in that day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. See, then he took them by the hand, and they still failed. But the new covenant, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity I remember no more. So, you see, he's given us everything right there. And he says he's going to write those, the word, the laws, he's going to write them in our hearts, and he's going to cause us to do it. So he's already, it's all there, like I said before, by the Holy Spirit. And he's writing those laws, he has written those laws in our hearts. And he's going to cause us. But the only way he can cause us to do that, if we keep our focus on him, if we keep our focus on what the Word of God says, we have to continually keep our eyes on who Jesus say that we are. We have to see ourselves that way. We have to see ourselves that way. We can't see ourselves, even if we fall, we still can't see ourselves in a different way. We still have to see ourselves in Christ Jesus. Because when we see ourselves that way, when I see myself that way, then I can see you that way. Then I can see you that way. Then I can see my other brothers and sisters that way. But if I keep looking at my faults, you know, when we look at our faults, sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's easier to look at somebody else's fault and think that we have it all together. Oh, I don't do that. That's not me. So we look at somebody else like, you know, they haven't made it, but we arrive. But that's not so. We have to first look at our fault. Because sometimes, like we say, we're looking there, but it's going this way. Look at yourself. And that's why a lot of times when God speaks to us, he gives us his word to show us sometimes. Not that he doesn't see us the way he sees himself, but sometimes because of pride in that, he has to let us know, hey, you haven't arrived. It's only because of my grace. And you have to see that. And you have to take that grace. And you have to walk in my grace. We have to walk in that way. So we can see each other that way. We have to see each other that way. Now when I look at everyone here, if you're born again, I see you in God's eyes. I'm not looking no more at what faults you have. If you have faults, that had nothing to do with me. I just look at where God, he already took everything to, on the cross. I'm not going to try and resurrect something that he already took on the cross. He's done it already. It's a done deal. He's already done the work with us. So now I have to see you the same way I see Jesus. I have to see you that way. And that's what God wants for each of us, to see each other that way. Because when we see each other that way, then he says, then we can come together in the unity. We can come together in the oneness, because we're coming together in one mind, one accord. We're not coming together because we can't fake God. So we're not coming together acting like we got it all together. Just be yourself. God wants us to be ourselves. He knows. Be yourself. But know that it's him doing the work in us. And sometimes it's so hard for us. Just be who you are. God made you that way. But now take what God's character, God's way of being. Doesn't mean that we change. We're not trying to be who we are. That just means be who you are, but now take what God says about you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's already given you everything you need. We have it all. Let's go to Hebrews 10. I love the word of God. And I was going through Hebrews. Sometimes you got to go back. You know, sometimes where you started before, sometimes God takes you back there again. You start reading and you see little things that you didn't see before. And sometimes we just read it so quickly that we bypass the important things that he's saying. Hebrews 10. I want to do one. Let me see. I'm going to start from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. You see, even then, the law was a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Can never, with these sacrifices, which they offer year by year, continuously, make the common unto perfect. It couldn't make us perfect, no matter what. Year by year, they went, and they sprinkled blood, and that couldn't do it. For a priest to go in for you, he had to go with the bells on his feet to go in there and speak for you on your behalf and, you know, pray for you on your behalf. You had to go in. They had to go in a tent, but they had to have bells on their feet. And if they went in there and something went wrong, you didn't hear those bells, you pull them out, they were dead. But now we don't need anybody to go for us. We have Jesus, and we can go face to face with him. That's why he said this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, according to his word, we have it. But we don't look at those little words that are in there. You know, it has to be according to his will. Sometimes we're going to God and we don't even open up the Bible. We go with our own way of saying things, and then we wonder why we didn't get it. But, you know, God is saying, you missed out on this. I didn't say that. This is what I said. So we have to go back to the, we always have to go back to the word. What is God saying to us? For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sin. And I think that's one of the big things with us. We are so sin conscious. We are so sins conscious. We have to get away from being sin conscious and be God conscious. No more sin conscious. Be God conscious. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. That's what they did then. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou willest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. You see, he has prepared a body. We're the body. We're the body that Jesus prepared already. We're the body that Jesus has prepared. We're that body that has been prepared so that we can go before the Father. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And that's what he said. It comes in the volume of this book to do the will. We have to look at his word to carry out his will. We can't do without his word. So we always say, meditate on the word. Get the word, because it's the word that we have to live by. This is the only way a Christian has to live by, is by the word of God. We can't live by our own way of thinking. We have to always go back to the word of God. That's why he tells us that we have to renew our minds. Renew our minds. We have to, it's like a computer. You have to take out the junk and put in the new. We have to take out the junk and put in the new. We have to, like a computer, we have to put in the new. And we can't let anything corrupt that new that's in there. Above, then, lo, I come in the volume of the book of God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wast not. Neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. So he took away the law to bring in the grace. Now, who is grace? Who is grace? He brought in grace, Jesus. He took away the law and he brought in grace. By the which will we are sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So Jesus did it once and for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes to same sacrifice which can never take away sin. See, they, even though the priest went, they could never take away the sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. And we know that was Jesus Christ. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, which is us, the believer. He set us apart already. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also, it is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, where remission of sin is, there is no more offering for sin. So we don't have, there is no more offering for sin anymore. We shouldn't have to be offering anything or try by works to change anything. It's all by the grace of God, you know. And when we say it's all by the grace of God, sometimes we say, well, you know, so and so, you know, they keep lying or they messed up. So, you know, they go, that means they walk in grace. Yes. But they have to know that that grace has been available for the, to them so that they don't have to do that. See, the grace is there to let us know, to show us, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to go that way. It's not pointing at us and bringing and showing us sin. It's saying to us, that's not who you are. You're in grace now. So now walk in the grace that you have. You don't have to walk that way. And the only reason we walk that way is because, like, again, because of our, we don't renew our minds. we have been so used to doing things so in certain ways that it's so hard now to let go of those ways and take on the new man that we are, who we are in Christ. So instead of letting go of those ways, we say sometimes, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's the way you were. You're not like that no more. See, that's just the enemy. And as long as the enemy keeps telling you, well, that's just the way you are. God knows you're that way. He accepts you just the way you are. No, God only sees Jesus. And that's who he's accepting. He's accepting. He sees Jesus. And because he sees Jesus, that's the way he sees us. But when the enemy comes, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he only comes with thoughts. He can't. He has no authority over you. We have to get that. He has no power over you. Jesus had already defeated him on the cross. He has no authority over you. Get that. We have been given that authority. He can't just come and take something from you. The only way he takes is we let him. The only reason why we fall is because we let him. But if we set our minds to what the Word of God says, I am a new creation. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has given each and every one of us here something to do. Whether it's cleaning the bathroom, whether it's standing by the door, whether it's working in children's church, whether it's working in administration, God has given each and every one of us something to do. And you know what? When we go before God, we're not going to be judged for sin. That's been done away with. God's not going to bring up sin no more. We're not going to be judged for that. But when he comes to you, or when he goes like this to you, you know what he's going to say? What did you do with what I gave you? And what are you going to say? Oh, well, Lord, I didn't know. Why didn't you know? Why didn't you know? There's no excuse. No excuse, church. No excuse. Because he's going to say, I gave you the Holy Spirit. I didn't even leave you to yourself. So when you say you can't do it, and when you don't want to submit to it, that's pride. That's saying, I can't. And God's saying, get the I can no more. Get yourself out the way and let the Holy Spirit do his job, what I have called him to do. So there's no excuses. And each and every one of us are going to go before God only for that one thing. I have it in my Bible, in my word. I'm going to give you the scripture verse. That's the only thing when we go before God that God is going to speak to us about. He's not going to tell you what you did here as far as sin, because that's done away with. But you know why? He put that Holy Spirit in here for a purpose. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs us. Like Sister Camille was just saying about Sister Jackie. Just a testimony. Maybe he called you to testify in your job. When you go before God, when you go up there, you're going to see all the people, whoever you brought to the Lord, that you probably didn't even remember, that maybe you just spoke one word, maybe your life show. He's going to show you when you see. You're going to probably be surprised, because some people you probably thought you were just saying words. You know, you said, you know, one get plants, the other one waters. So maybe I planted the word, but I didn't see the person come right away. Somebody water, but that's a reward to me. So when I go before God, that person, he's going to say, you ministered to that person. You know what he's going to say? You fed them when they needed food. You took in the sick. You went and visited the prisoner. You helped. There should be no lack in the body. There should be no lack in this body. We have administrators. We have teachers. We have ushers. We have deacons. Doorkeepers, children's church, teachers. We have everything we need here, but we need to step out and do what God has called us to do. Whether it's just a little Bible study in your home, start with one. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm intimidated. I don't like to speak in a crowd. I didn't either. But when God told me to step out, I'm here. I don't look to myself. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. I say, okay, Holy Spirit, you want to use me? I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be concerned. Well, do I speak like so-and-so? Or am I like so-and-so? Are my words eloquent? Am I speaking right? And I'm not saying ignorance is good. But God says, just as you are. Come just as you are. That's all. Come just as you are. So there should be no lack. There should be no reason why one person is doing two and three jobs in the church. There should be no reason. But all I can say to you is, this is not condemnation, church. When I read this scripture verse, it really hurt my heart because I said, Lord, do people really understand that they're going to face you? And when you ask them, what did you do with what I gave you? That they're going to be judged for that. Do they understand that? Or are they looking at it like, well, he knows I can't. Then why did he put, you can do all things through Christ? He didn't even say you can do it. He didn't even leave it that way because he figured if we did, then we want to boast. But he says, you can do it through me. You can do it. Just step out. You need to just step out. You can do it because it's not you doing it. It's me doing the work through you. And the minute you step out, you're going to see. Sometimes we want the whole picture. We want everything written down. Well, Lord, if you tell me this, if you tell me how this, then I'm going to... No. He said, you take that step, and when you take that step, the next step I'll speak to you. The next step. It's just like when you get a tongues interpretation. He gives somebody a tongue. You should be saying, Lord, give me the interpretation. Give me the interpretation. And he could just say, I. And you want the whole thing. I what? I, what's the word? And he could say, I am that I am. That's the word he wants to give you. But if you don't start with the I am ain't going to come out. So you have to start with that one word. Whatever he puts in your heart, just say it. When you go minister to someone, just whatever he puts in your heart to say. Sometimes it's just a smile, a hug. Sometimes just going over, shaking and giving them a handshake with a little something. We have to start being sensitive to the Spirit of God that's within us so we can touch lives. It's not about us. It's not about when we all get it together. We all have it together because it's already been done. We just have to allow the Holy Spirit in us to do the work through us. You know, when I was reading about the covenant, I'm saying, God, you did it all. You went and took everything with you. And you came and you gave it. You said, here. It's like taking this, put it on your back. Now, it's yours. But I don't know what happens to us. We allow our mind take us away from what God has already done for us. And because of the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy what God has already given. He can't do it. Only if we let him. That's the only way he can do it. There's no other way he could do it. And that's why he has to come and give us thoughts. He only comes through our thoughts. But if we renew in our minds daily with the word of God, as soon as a certain thought comes, we'll be able to push that thought away and say, uh-uh, not here. Not here. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. I don't say that. I don't do that. I don't go there. It's not law to me. It's grace. It's the grace of God that's carrying me. It's the Holy Spirit that's leading me. And that's who I draw from. Sometimes we have nothing to say. Don't say anything. Maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be. But sometimes we're saying, and then we say things we shouldn't say, and then we go back and our conscience starts breaking, and then we're dealing with that. And then we think we have to, oh, man, I blew it. No. Get away from being sin conscious. Be God conscious. be more God focused. You know, just like when they were going on the boat and Jesus said to Peter, come. Because his focus was so on Jesus on that boat. When he said, come, he just went and went. And all of a sudden, the wind. Now, the winds were there all the while. The winds didn't start when Peter started walking on the water. The winds were there all the while. But because his eyes were so focused on Jesus, he just went. As soon as he went, of course, the enemy's not going to let go. I believe all those, the winds and everything were all little circumstance and situation that our mind starts drawing us into. And I believe that's what happened when he... Then he started seeing the wind or the circumstance. Oh, how am I going to get there? Oh, suppose this, suppose that. Oh, man, could he really? And he started sinking. That's the same thing that happens with us. We start sinking because we take our focus now. We have to be determined. We have to say, no, Lord, if you said it, I don't care what happens, I'm going to go. You said walk, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. I don't see nothing but you, Jesus. That's where we have to be, at that place. Because his promise is a yea and amen. He said he never leaves us nor forsake us. You know, sometimes I hear people sound like Jesus was with them now because they were good. But now because they made a little mistake, Jesus left them. No way. If you're truly born again, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He said, even if you go to hell, I'm there with you. So he never leaves us nor forsake us. He's always there. But he says, you know what? Just lean on me. Lean on me. Trust me. I know what's going on. Just keep leaning on me. Look to me. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at the problems. Look at me. Look at me. And that's where we have to be. We have to be at a place where everything is Jesus. Jesus. Everything has to be Jesus. Nothing else, no one else but Jesus. He has to be everything. He has to be. He's our life. It has to be Jesus. Let's go to Galatians 3:17. I'm not sure if I went over it, but because I wrote in my notes, this is going to confirm it. But Galatians 3. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of no effect. See, nothing can make what God has promised us of no effect. Nothing can. He said, if I promise it, I will do it. He keeps his word. He's a government keeper. He's a covenant keeper. He keeps his word. He says, my word shall not return void, but it would accomplish what I have said. It would accomplish it. We are supposed to be the light of the earth. So we have to be that light with people. We don't have to even say, but they see Jesus in us. They see the peace in us. They see the joy in us. They see the love in us. That's where we have to be, at that place where they see Jesus. But we have to first see him for ourselves too. Because if we don't see him, who else is going to see him? So we have to see him, because he is our life. He is our life. 2 Corinthians 4:3-6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So see, this gospel is not hidden to us. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he's already, our eyes have been, you know, Christ, the veil has already been removed. So we can see. We can see what others can't see. we have that privilege, that honor that God has given us, that we can see what others cannot see. Isaiah 54:14. And it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. So he's already telling us there should be no fear in us, no oppression, no terror, nothing. Because he's already done it. So it should not even come near us. So if it comes near us, we have to see why. But it shouldn't even come near us. Because if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, there's no darkness there. And oppression, depression, that's all darkness. But if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we only see the light. We only see the good things of God. That's all that we will see. We won't see all the other ugly things that are out there. So to be established, God said that our righteousness shall thou be established. It means to be in right place with God. And we always talking about being in the right place, being positioned in the right place. We are in righteousness. If we are righteous, then we are in the right place with God. We don't have to be concerned about anything else, just knowing that we are in the right place with God. And that's where God wants us to keep our focus, knowing that we are in right standing with him. To be able to stand in the presence of God, of a holy God, without a sense of guilt or inferiority. You know, sometimes, like I said before, sometimes we feel, I'm trying to get the right word, inferior to people. We shouldn't. We shouldn't. We should, because if you know who you are, you won't. If you know who you are, you'll be bold. You'll be confident. You have confidence in who you are, so you won't be afraid. There'll be no fear in us. Knowing that everything is all right between you and God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know that scripture, hopefully. We all know it. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have a ministry. We have a work to do, reconciling others to God. We have a work to do, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgression unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, I think maybe that's something you should keep before your eyes. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I have already been made. And he doesn't put me in and take me out. I think sometimes we think that. He puts me in and takes me out, puts me in and takes me out. No, he doesn't. Once you're in there, you're in there. That's it. He's not going to come and do it again. He's not taking you in and out. You're in there with him. I have a ringing in my ear, but that's okay. That's why I'm having problems. But I don't know if that is my ear. The scripture where I was talking about being judged, I believe it was Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Is it there? Having therefore, brethren, boldness enter into the holies of by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in all assurance and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What washes us with pure water? The Word of God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to provoke us to the good works, to what God has called us to do. I'm provoking us. Let's go on. Let's do what God has called us to do. Because, like I said, I don't want us to go before God and He be saying, "What did you do?" And we won't know what to say. You can't say, "I didn't hear it," because you heard it just now. So now you can't go to God and say, "Well, I didn't know that." So let us provoke one another as brothers and sisters. And it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as the days are coming and they're getting darker and darker, this is the time that we need to approach to one another, to provoke one another, to love one another, to come into that place to be used by God, to be doing the works that God has called us to do. Because we should no longer be in milk. It's a time now for us to be eating the meat. We should be skillful in the things of God, doing the works of God, no matter what it is. So we need to take time and go before God and say, "Okay, Lord, you know what? I heard your word today. And I know that's not me, but it's you doing it through and in me. So I'm just going to surrender to your will and let you have your way with me. Use me for whatever way you could." Like I said before, whether it's to go to someone and minister Jesus, whether it's to clean somebody's house, whether it's to open your door for someone to come in, whatever it is, you have to know what God has called you to do. And a lot of times, the things that God has called us to do is the thing we don't like to do. Because you know what? It's always easy to do something when you like doing it. You know, when you're good, when you like doing something, it's very easy just to go and flow in it. "Oh, I can do, oh, I'll do that because I like doing that." But are you doing what God called you to do, or are you doing what you want to do? So we have to know sometimes when it seems like, "Oh God, this, I don't want to do that." That's when you need to do that. That's when you need to take that step of faith and do what God has called you to do. And do it. And when you do it, you're going to get such a joy out of doing it. Because, you know, once you do something God calls you to do, there's such a joy. There's such a peace. And he'll show you, you know. It's like he's saying, "Well done, my servant, my faithful servant. You have done what I asked you to do." And there's, to me, nothing more than for God to say that to us. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, we know as parents, we have a ministry in our homes with our children. And sometimes we think that's the only ministry. But no, we have to find out what if we have hands and we could do certain things with our hands. We might not like doing that. But you just surrender those hands to God and say, "Okay, Lord, use me. For whatever you want. Use my hands for whatever you want." And he'll do it. And he'll give you the pleasure with it to do it. Sometimes we go and we join something. And I'm not saying for our singers or anything. But sometimes we all like to sing. So we join the sing. You know, the music ministry. Maybe God didn't call you in the music ministry. Maybe he just called you to help in the music ministry. Maybe he called you to help organize something in the music ministry. But right away, I like to sing, so I'm going to sing. You know, and I'm saying that for myself too, because when God called me to prayer, I like to pray. But I like to pray my way. I go before God and I pray the way I want. I talk to God the way I want. But when he showed me that this is what he called me to do, then I had to say, okay, Lord, then teach me. Teach me. Because it's not the way I say, it's what you say. And I didn't want it. To be honest, I didn't want it. Because I didn't know how. That was number one. I said, well, Lord, I mean, I know how to pray, but this is the way I pray. You know? So I said, the second excuse I gave was, well, what is an intercessor? You know, you want to know everything before you. He never told me. I'm still just one. You know, we could read the word, it says one that goes before God on behalf of men and all that. But there's much more. There's so much more in God's word for us to learn. And as you get into what God called you to do, then he starts showing you little. And then you say, wow. Wow, wow, you know. And now I look at it and I say, I look at it like such a privilege that he called me to do what he's up there doing, interceding on behalf of us all the time. And he called me to be interceding and praying for his people all the time. But if I look with these eyes, sometimes, you know, we look with these eyes, we could make excuses. And I could say, well, I don't want to pray for so-and-so. They just got to get their act together. I'm not going to pray for so-and-so because they don't even come to church. But it's not me. It's what he called me. He said, I called you to pray. I didn't call you to examine or check or judge or criticize. I called you to pray. Just do what I call you to do. You don't have to know everything that's going on. Just pray. Just pray. You know, and when you go before God like that, your prayers get answered like that. Because there's no more pride. Now you're humbling yourself to do what he called you to do with his heart and his focus. Because he knows all things. Even when you pray, sometimes you want to know what's going on. You want to know everything. But sometimes God says, I don't have to reveal it to you. Just pray so and so. That's all you have to do. Just get my word. Pray according to my word. And when we pray according to his word, that even makes it worse for us because then we really don't know what's going on. We just pray what God's word says. So you know what? In a way, it's good because that takes me out of the hook. Because then when so-and-so said this, I could say, I didn't say that to so-and-so because I prayed the word. I don't know where they got that from, but I pray the word of God. So see, God always, he's so good and so merciful. And whatever he called us to do, he equipped us, but we have to take that step and do what God has called us to do, no matter where we are, even in our homes. When we go anywhere, we have to take a step and do what God has called us to do. Because he has given us the better covenant. He has given us better promises. And those promises of covenant is his grace. It's his Holy Spirit. We don't have anything to do but just to lean, rely, and trust in him. That's all we have to do. Lean and rely. You know how the little kids, little children do with their parents when they want something, when they're that small, you know, and they want a milk, you know, bottle of milk or something. Who do they go to? They know they go right to the mother, right to, you know. They know that's my mother. But sometimes we go opposite. Instead of going to him, we go to this one, that one. God's saying, no, come to me. I might send you to this one and that one. But come to me first. Come to me first. See me for who I am. Learn of me, you know. He says, learn of me. And that's what the new covenant is all about. Learning who Jesus is in us. Knowing that he's already done the work. That's the whole key to this whole Christian walk. It's learning of him. Knowing Jesus. Knowing that he's already done what he said he was going to do. And that his word is yea and amen. His word will not return void. His word would accomplish. You know, we say his word is going to accomplish what was spoken. But sometimes he gives us the word to speak. So if we speak in his word, that word is going to accomplish what we're speaking. Because we are in accordance with his word. We're coming in agreement with his words. We're coming in oneness with his thoughts. So now We're just walking in the Word. And the Word and you are becoming, we become that one together. And now, whatever we say, according to His will, He says, you have it. It is yours already. I haven't kept anything from you. It is all yours. But now, just know who you are in Christ. Don't be sin conscious. Be God conscious. That's what, if anything, be God conscious. Don't be sin conscious. Be God conscious. Look to Jesus for everything. That's why He says, acknowledge me in all your ways. Do we acknowledge Him in all our ways? When we get up in the morning, do we acknowledge Him and say, well, here you are, Jesus. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you have me to say? Do we acknowledge Him, or do we just every day just take it for granted? We get up and forget about Him. But then when we need Him, we acknowledge. Oh, Jesus, no, that's not for us. That's for the lost that are looking for someone, are looking for something. Their hearts need to be fulfilled. So they're the ones that need to go and look for Jesus. But we don't have to, because He's in us. What we have to do is take what's in us and lean, rely, and trust. And spend that time with Him. Become intimate with Him. Know Him for who He is and for what He's already given us. That's what the new covenant is all about. It's not about works. It's not about trying to clean up our act. It's already been done. It's about taking what Jesus has already done for us and walking in it, which is His Spirit, His anointing, His glory, His peace, His joy, His long-suffering, everything. There's not anything that God has not given us. I can't make that any clearer. There's nothing. And when we lack something, it's not because God has taken it away or God doesn't want us to have it. It's not, you know, we lack it because we don't line up with the Word of God. Because we have to keep saying, like Brother Nathan was saying, we have it all already. We are blessed. We're blessed. You know, when this, all this crisis is going on, and, you know, people, my daughter said to me, what are we going to do when the end time comes, Ma? What are people going to do? This is just gas. What are we going to do when the end time comes? When we can't even buy milk? What are we going to do? Do we think about that? I know what we're going to do. We're going to trust and rely on and lean on. The world's going to see. If that's what's going to take to turn this world to Jesus, they're going to see that we lack nothing. That we lack nothing. Favor. God's going to give us favor. He's going to speak to us. And He's going to say, no, go there. Like He told, wasn't, go to the fish and get it out. He's going to say, no, go over there. It's there for you. Everything that the unjust has been saving, there's no lack of money. They say there's no money. I say, you know, we say there's no money. Oh, you know, America's going bankrupt. Let me tell you something. There's no money. How come all these basketball players, tennis players, soccer, where's all this money coming from? Look at the amount of money they get paid. And there's no money? No, there's money. But it's hidden for us. So when people say there's no money, say, Lord, you have it for me. Because you say I lack nothing. So when I need it, if you have to tell me, go to the fish, I'm going to go to the fish. And if I have to open the fish mouth, I'm going to find it there. I'm going to find it there. But now I have to be sensitive to whatever you're telling me to do. Because you said I have a better promise. I have a better covenant. And that covenant is not a covenant of any lack at all. He's already given it to us. So let's just look to Jesus. This is the time just to keep your focus on Jesus. Don't focus on anything else that's going on. Just leave it on Jesus. You know, when something's happening in your family, in your home and that, and you focus on that situation, that's what the enemy wants, you notice it gets worse. And then it, because you know why? Because when you focus on it, then you get involved in it. Now you're trying to fix it. Now you get frustrated, so it gets worse. But when you say, you know what? Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands. Speak, say whatever you have to say. If God tells you, speak peace to the situation, say, I speak peace. There's still chaos. I said, I speak peace. Go your way. Say, Lord, that's what you said. Cast that care. I'm casting it on you. Yeah, but it's hard, you know, because they still, why you keep looking? You know why still? Because you keep looking. You keep looking. Don't keep looking at it. Oh, well, you know, I have eyes to see. Yeah. See Jesus. See Jesus. Say Jesus. Every time something, say Jesus, you're in control. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm taking my hands off. It's all about you. See Jesus. This is the hour that we only have to see Jesus. And we have to see one another in Christ. We have to love one another. This commandment, it's just for us. We have to love one another. We have to be there for one another. Strengthen one another. Encourage one another. Comfort one another. That's what it's all about. So the world can see us come together. Because he sees, you know, the world says, when they, the Bible says when they see us, our love one for another, then the world will want what we have. Right now they don't want it. Because we complain just like the world. We fight just like the world. I'm hoping that a Christian doesn't get on TV with this gas thing and they find him fighting because of gas. You know? Where are we at this time now? Because it's going to get worse. Are we showing courtesy to people? Are we treating people right? So they could see Christ in us and say, boy, that person was so nice. Because you can't find that anymore. A lot of people say, you know where you find that? Once you leave New York, it's a difference. You go to any other place, people are so polite and so nice. And why is that? It shouldn't be. They should be saying that about us. And I believe they are. Because we are that people. We are that people. No more sin conscious. We are God conscious people. And we know and who we trust and we rely and we lean on. So let's keep just looking to Jesus for everything. Just know that he's already done it for us. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And there is no lack. And if you have a problem or situation, bring it to Jesus. Say, well, I already did. Yeah, but now leave it there. Sometimes we bring it and we keep bringing and we keep bringing like he didn't hear us the first time. He's not hard of hearing. He's not hard of hearing. In fact, he already knows. Even before you ask, he knows. But why do we have to ask? Because he wants to see you come to him. He knows. He already knows. But why does he want us to go? Because he wants us to know it's all about me. Lean and rely on who I am. So church, lean and rely on Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the only, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He started it and he's going to end it. He's already done it. It's a done deal. It's already done. And he did it all for us and he gave it all to us. And we lack nothing. Everything has been done. So when you leave here encouraged. Knowing that Jesus has done it. And you know what the word in Mark says? That as soon as you hear the word, the enemy comes for the word's sake. So if the enemy comes with a situation or a trial when you leave these doors, if you hear something, let that perk up and say, he's coming for the word's sake that I heard today. But he ain't going to take that word. So I'm leaving that situation or circumstance to Jesus. Just bring it before Jesus. Don't let him steal the word from you. Don't let him steal anything from you no more. Know who you are in Christ. Know that you're in right standing. Know that we are more than conquerors. And we have already overcome. Jesus already did it for us. Now we just have to walk in it. So learn to walk in that. Being that overcomer that Christ has already made us to be. Amen? Amen.